Okay, so once again, before Yontif, I want to do a piece from Or Gedaliahu this time. We've done it a few times before, different pieces. It's Reb Gedaliah Shor, who was, I guess, the first American-born Gadol. He learned in Tarvadas. He was a Gadol in learning and in Machshav, Chassidus. Passed away about 1980 or so. His children are in different places and different roles of Rabbonim, Rashivas, etc. This is a piece on Rosh Hashanah. It's the first one is the one that says Daf Beis, the one side, and then the flip side. So he brings a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara says, "Kol Masa Breishis Bikoy Masa Nivru'u Ledaita Nivru." So Gemara says everything that was created in Breishis was fully developed. And Ledaita Nivru, which would translate, they agreed to be created. So Bekomasa Nivru, we understand, means that things had their final format at least ingrained in them. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted trees, then however it is that they came, that they started, but there was already the plan for a tree. That's easily understood. Ledaita Nivru, they were created willingly. So Rashi says, Upirat Rashi, Shehodiyom Sheyivraim Vehem Neoisu. They were told that they would be created, and they agreed to it. Now, that's almost, I mean, a paradox is maybe a light, and that's easy on that. I mean, how could you, forget about everything else, how could you know before you're created that you're going to be created and you're happy with the idea? It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. How does something know before? That's obvious. And it's sort of it's a circle. What does it mean? Vabir bazer, she'af shaloi nivru adayin. They had not been created yet. So what does it mean they were willingly created? So let's talk about this. Let's just explain what he means over here. Everything that was created with a sense of being conscious, aware of what you are, happy with what you are, wanting to be what you are. In other words, the word das in Hebrew is a very complex word. It doesn't mean knowledge, certainly not information. Das can mean consciousness, awareness, self-awareness. All those words fit into das. It means that everything felt an identity. I am what I am, and I'm comfortable with what I am. So sometimes we're jealous with somebody else, what somebody else has, but at the end of the day, everything has a sense of self, and that is what it was created with. And so too, k'mokim bebrias adam beishe nivra sheviyipach bavav nishmas chayim. I want to discuss this a little more at length, because there's really another piece here that he doesn't speak out, and I think is important. We said that everything is created with a sense of self, with identity, and that's the pshat bedaita nivru. It goes a step further than that. Everything that is living lives with the strongest urge to persist and to keep living and to survive. The desire to survive is the core desire of a person. So when something is living, as opposed to something that's inanimate, something that's inanimate has no sense of survival, has no sense of anything, actually. It doesn't seek to survive. It is, and it's at the mercy of everything batting it about. When something is living, so living is the core definition of living is something is engaged in an active process to keep its existence going. A rock is not engaged in anything active, and the word existence is really depends on everything around it. An ant or a leaf is constantly engaged in activity. Certainly even a leaf at the cellular level, it's constant in constant flow and constant flux to enable its own survival. So if we're to ask ourselves, what is life? Life is the desire and the ongoing activity to keep one's self existing. That is a definition of life that fits every living being in the world. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything with a ledaita nivru, it means not only everything is okay with how it is, but anything living is driven to keep itself going and to be what it is. That's true about every living being. What about man? Ukemoikin bebriya sa'adam, be'eshe nivra, shahoya vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim, v'omur chazal man de nofach medelei nofach. This is a Zohar which is quoted. It's interesting, it's quoted both by the Balatanya and the Nefesh HaChaim was the Vilna Gaon's biggest Talmud. And they both quote it. And it's actually, we don't have the source for it in the Zohar. There are statements like it. It's fascinating that they both quote it and it's not, we don't have it. But at any rate, it's a very, very famous statement. And it means, let's think about it. Everything, man's biological living condition is not different than any animal's living condition. So, you know, depending on what order you go and depending on where in the ladder of creatures we are, there's breathing, there's circulation, there's cellular movement, and so on. Everything that you would have anywhere, we have as well. So the word life, as it's associated with our biological life, is not different than animal life. And you wouldn't need a special act of creation for that. You have animals being created, and in so much as man is an animal, then that's part of it. About man, it says a very special act of creation. He formed his body, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed into his nostrils a breath of life. So the Zohar that he's quoting, it says that whenever a person breathes something, it is of his self. In other words, when I touch something, so part of me touches it. Breathing is something where it's almost my core sense, my core essence, so to speak, is coming out, and I'm infusing it to somebody. So when it says that God did that act to man, that God breathed life into man, it means that something was given to man that we can call essence of God. So on the physical, biological level, on the physiological level of a person, our living mechanism is not different than any animal. And that's not what we're talking about. That's not this type of life. There's nothing, it's that type of life is a divine act. But there's nothing about it where I can say something core of God was given to us. If we're to say that man has another dimension of life that's not associated with animals, it would have to be the sense of tov and ra, moral, good and bad, the sense to be able to sense it, to be able to want it, and so on. All of that is the dimension of life that we have, the animal doesn't have. So anything that's physical, survival, and even low emotional contact, an emotional level that a dog would have, that's a simple emotion God-given to certain living creatures. That's not that dimension that is unique to man. What's unique to man is going to be something that we're going to term it godlike, of God's essence. The God's essence to us is tov and ra. When the snake, who was a good salesman, I guess snake oil salesmen are getting revenge on the snake that was the first snake oil salesman. When he came and made a pitch to Adam, the pitch was, you're going to be like God. You will understand good from bad. It's going to become instinctive to you in a way that you'll be godlike. So if we can ask ourselves the one aspect of ours that's not physical, that transcends the physical world, not only because it's conceptual, but it deals with truths and ideas that are beyond the physical world, is good and bad. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a life force that is contains some of that essence. So he says, V'omer Chazal man de nofach mi delei ka nofach. So Chazal tell us, so it's not a Zohar, it's a Sefer HaKoneh, that when somebody breathes, he breathes out something of himself. Nivro imarotzen lezeh achiyus amiti, shal asher yaseh se odom v'chay bahem. So let's explain this point over here. So it means really we have two systems in us. We do have the type of life force that every living animal has. And we have something else also. We can use it. It's like sometimes you have many types of devices where it can work on one of two systems, 120 or 220 volts. It can work on 5G or 4G. It can work on this, on that. And you switch. You can put it on the better mode, if you have whatever it is, or you put it on the weaker mode if you don't have that. Whatever, many things like that, where you have something can work in two modes, and you choose which mode you want it to work on. That's our most basic choice of life. And and let's understand, we can survive and be driven to live for the things that are pleasant and pleasurable. So a person's cycle of life revolves around what he enjoys eating, what he enjoys doing, and so on. And he, and the fact that he has another type of life in him, that switches off. It's switched on to body mode. And it's a life because we have pleasure and we have drives and we're driven to get these pleasures. And that becomes an entire life. That's one setting. A second setting is a very different type of life that our life would center around the V'yipah pa'apov. And that means that we're driven to want it. We're driven to feel that survival for us as a human being depends on living it. And everything that's true about life on a physical level, the mechanism is true about this mechanism. It includes a pleasure/pain center. It includes a drive to attain that. It includes a sense of self that identifies with it. So a person's sense of self can identify with a bottle of wine, and which wine and what wine and so on, and he can identify with the good life, or a person's sense of self can identify with something else. Two systems, parallel, very similar in the dynamics of it and how it works, and yet two different worlds. One is a word chayim as associated with a balchai, a physiological living, and one is living of a very different type. So he says, so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that, Nivra ima rotzel zachius amiti, shashe yaso isim ha'odam v'chai bahem. So we have in ourselves that life, that neshama HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that type of life to so that we that becomes who we are and what we are. So he teaches the pasuk nefesh chaya means someone who desires the life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this type of life, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us pleasure center, drives to want that. That's how we're set up. Next paragraph. Baruch Hashanah sezeh ayom tchilas masecha. So we have Rosh Hashanah and we have Yom Kippur, and it's, you know, for us it's a blur because Aseret Yemei Teshuva, it's all about regretting the bad we did, trying to do better, and so on. But really, it's two stages. Yom Kippur, we worry about details. Rosh Hashanah, we're trying to figure out which mode we're in. On Rosh Hashanah, we need to figure out who we are. The first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu did when he placed a being into this world is midaita nifru. He gave them the sense of self. So animals, just they don't have choices. They just have a sense of self, and everything flows from that. We have our first choice is who we are. What's our mode? And it says hayoyim. It means Rosh Hashanah. The Sfarim Medrash says in a few places, Zohar says in a few places, that many times when the word Hayom, the day, today, this day, it refers to Rosh Hashanah. So when it says, Reina Satif Anecha Hayom, Esachayim Esamavis, so Hayom would be referring to Rosh Hashanah. Next page. Vatoyrem Be'atzmai Meforish Manikro Chayim, So the whole concept of choosing life means, if we learn the psukim very casually, it means like this. Hashem has set up mitzvahs and averis. If you do mitzvahs, you get good things going. If you do averis, there's punishment. One is one. The best thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu give is life. The worst thing is death. If you do mitzvahs, you're going to get life, and so on. That's sort of how we look at it. No, Bacharta Bachayim means to choose a certain type of life, and that's why he says, what is that chayim? La'avas Hashem lekecha l'shmo bekolo l'dafka boy kuchayecha v'chemecha. To recognize that your sense of attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what your life is. Chayim shel dveikus v'Hashem Yisroch zeh nekra chayim. O b'chayim kazeh tzorech adam livchar. So our most basic choice that we have is not what we do, but who we are. Because there's two of us. We have two modes that we operate on. And deciding which one, ubacharta b'chayim, means to choose that mode of life. And we'll explain in a minute why that mode of life is called life as compared to the other one, is the choice that a person should make. So the fundamental bechira, which is especially relevant to the first day of Rosh Hashanah, is a life that is going, it's a choice of who we are before we choose what we do. That's one. But why is this called life? I mean, right now, until now, we've presented a choice. We have, you know, you can choose mode A, you can choose mode B, you can choose manual, you can choose automatic. What's the problem? In other words, this, why would we call one Chayim and Mavis? You have a choice of this type of life, that type of life. In what sense do we distinguish and call this Chayim, so to speak, with a capital Ches, and this Chayim not like that? So he doesn't talk about this, and again, I'd like to try to explain it. Anything that's living, the difference between the living and the inanimate is motion. Anything that's living is in constant motion. Certainly, again, at the intracellular level, you know, you don't have to walk around. You can be sleeping, but there's tons of activities going on in the body. And even, you know, even things that are hibernating, something there at a very low level is doing. It's there. It's active. It's potentially active, and so on. So life is something that is defined by motion, movement, and that's how halachically. That's why halachically, breathing, and to a smaller degree, heartbeat is the halachic definition of life. Even though technically, if the mind is you know, at some point, if the mind is severed halachically, that motion stops being called life. But the main description of living is physical, an activity at its lowest level. So anything that's in that motion is called living. What about something that is moving, but that movement is going to wind down and come to a stop? Again, there's a halachic definition of something called mefarches, which means when you shecht an animal, there might be some movement, but that movement is considered to be halachically not of no consequence because the animal is dead. That involuntary motion is going to come to a stop. It has some movement left to it, but it's not moving. It's not going anywhere. So any type of motion that will come to a stop, finish, and that's it, then that's halachically not considered life. And when we're defining terms, absolute terms, life really should be forever. Man was created to live forever. It wasn't an extra gift, but life in its real sense is forever. It's really one of the puzzles that scientists try to work on, is why don't we live forever? I mean, the body has a mechanism to keep replacing itself, to keep healing itself, to keep taking care of itself. So we can understand an occasional accident. But why is the body it comes to an end? You know, there are a lot of explanations, but it's something that it's counterintuitive. If you have a system that's self-correcting, self-motivating, and doing everything, take care of itself, imagine a computer that would check in every so often and replace parts. One would wonder if it would ever come to a stop. Maybe an accident or something, but if it keeps replacing its parts in time, then why would it come to a stop? And the answer is correct. Life was meant to be forever, and death is a punishment. But if we think about life in terms of what drives us, what motivates us, what keeps us going, I mean life in the sense of more what I get up in the morning for, what am I looking forward to, what am I living for? So there are many physical things that push us, but they all begin to peter out. The nature of physical things are there's a limitation, and there's a limit to how much, and it's reflects itself in the limit of how much am I interested in it, how much do I want it. It's not self-sustaining because it's a limited world of things that have limits in time and in scope, and that's it. And a person is spent. I'm talking about emotionally, I'm talking internally, and that's it. The only thing that has the possibility of being eternal is ruchnius, because that is eternal. Physical things will always come to an end because the nature of physical things is they're limited and bound, and that's it. The only thing that we have an awareness of that doesn't have limitation, that's not something that is defined and confined in a certain area, in time and in place, is a ruchnistic world. So if we're to ask ourselves, this is Chaim, this is Chaim. Now, if you want to say what is Chaim in the most absolute sense of the word, something that can keep on going and has no reason to stop, I would have to say it's the type of Chaim that belongs to a person. It's something that is of a nature that's eternal and not given to be spent and finished. So he says, let's see inside. Chaim shel dveikus b'Hashem Yisbarach nikra Chaim. Or b'Chaim kazeh tzarach adam livchor. A person has to choose that life. Ki yesh adam chai chaim kazeh shemevir de kilyon. It's possible that a person lives a life which peters out. The Torah says, choose life that is life in the essential meaning of the word. Every year the world gets recreated. So the first choice that Adam was given was between life and death. Now, nobody chooses death willingly, but there is a life that looks like life. It it seems as if it's kind of it's full of life and energy, but it's not. It's like a battery. It's gonna drain itself of the energy and it's gonna go dead. So every year we remake that choice again of life which is self-perpetuating, because that's its nature, to a life that seems bouncy and full of fun, but it just peters out. So every year, the first choice we make is, are we going to live in an essential way of living? So when it says, Rashi says it means God is advising us what to choose. Like a father who tells his child, choose a good piece. I want to explain this Rashi also. It's a mashal. What's the mashal? Like a father tells his son, choose a good piece. So, under normal circumstances, no one can tell me what to choose. If I like vanilla, and I'm standing by the counter, and someone says, no, you should take chocolate. That's crazy. I mean, choosing by definition means choosing what I want. So you like chocolate, that's wonderful. I like vanilla. So what does it mean you're telling me what to choose? On the other hand, when someone else comes and tells me what to choose, I think that he has an angle that he's trying to sell me something. And that's another angle where another person might possibly try to convince me that I'd rather have this over that. Let's say a father is telling a child. So we have father telling a child, this is what you ought to do. Now, what is his motive? I mean, you like this, he likes that. The answer is, as a child, I have the thing that seems to be what I want. I'd rather just hang out and not study. And then there's the part of him that will someday come into full bloom and is going to be who the person really is. And as a father, what I'm trying to tell my child is, yes, I want you to have what you want, but right now you want to hang around the pizza shop. But someday you'll want to be a doctor, or you want to be this or that. Let me tap into what you really want. A father who really intends for his child's well-being, what he's trying to do is, a parent is trying to impose their own, I would like to have my son the this, that, the other one, that's not good. But usually what a father is trying to tell the child is, there are two yous. There's the you that you think you are, And right now, you want to fool around and just do not much. But there's a part of you that's soon going to come into bloom and is going to want something, and that's who you really are. So the guide of a father to a child is not what the father wants, but the sense of what the child really is and what he wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not telling us to make a choice that we don't want. I know that you very much want the trefa stuff, but I want you to eat the glatt kosher stuff. If that would be a situation, then we're being pushed and forced into something we really don't want. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, right now you want this, but there's a part of you waiting to be unlocked that wants something else. And that other person is really the permanent person. This person comes and goes, just like the child. This is going to pass. In another 5 years, you'll be a different person. And this is who you're going to be for the rest of your life. So the commandment of Elcharta B'chaim is to choose the type of life that is real. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing us over us and telling us what to do. So why is it called choose? If someone tells what to do, the answer is there's two choices, there are two yous, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helping direct the you that will make the choice of eternity versus the you that's stuck with whatever is at the particular moment. Let's see one more paragraph. So Be'esa shechot adam rishon k'siv ve'ata peyishach yodev lokach kametz chayim ve'ochel v'chay la'olam. So etz chayim is something that a person is, it has in itself the ability of living forever, which is true life. Whatever it is that Eitz HaChaim represents, it's something that has in itself a sense of life in the fullness of it. In the Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'Ra, I'm going to say it outside what he says, I just need to be a little quicker. The Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'Ra, the problem was as follows. Let's understand what was before Eitz HaDa'as and what was after Eitz HaDa'as. Imagine somebody is offered, God forbid, drugs. So before a person has ever taken it, there's no internal drive for it. There's no internal cheshek for it. He's heard from a lot of people, it's fun, it's great, there's peer pressure, whatever it is. There's an outside, someone's inciting him from the outside to do something. Once a person has tasted it, that becomes another piece that drives in him. So any type of thing we've done, smoking, drinking, anything like that, it becomes part of your drives of what it is that you want to live for, what it is you want to do, what it is that you're trying to get. So Eitz HaChaim was a type of life where the only thing that drove you was Tov. You had the choice to go and to take something else, but it wasn't an internal yearning fit. It wasn't an internal drive the way a drive for something bad once you've tasted it. Once Adam tasted from Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'Ra, there's always a part of him that hankers for Ra. Always a part of him that still has the taste of rebellion. Whatever it is, it's in him. So the each year as we get recreated, so to speak, we are being recreated and given the same choice year by year of who we are and what we are. I want to talk a little bit about this. He then goes on with Rabbeinu Yonah. We don't have the time to. Rabbeinu Yonah speaks about that there's a mitzvah of Becharta B'chaim. It's a mitzvah. It's not just advice. But I want to address a core point over here. We keep talking Rosh Hashanah about accepting God's dominion, Malchias, and the terrifying aspects of Yom HaDin, and the Malachim are scared. There's a lot of the context of the davening and so on that seems to be focused on how terrible, terrifying, etc. The problem with that is, so it almost ends up as if the real us are people that are physical, driven by physical drives, want to enjoy life, And God has imposed himself against our will. And okay, it's his prerogative. He created us and he made us and he's the king of the world and he can punish us and so on. But it all comes with that type of attitude. So besides the fact that it's not terribly effective, worse than that is, it's not even the key to what it's supposed to be. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us ubacharta. Bacharta doesn't just mean like choosing any meaning, you know, this or that. Bacharta is something we're called the Ama Nifchar. We're the chosen by Hashem. It implies that this is the core of what you want. So ubacharta b'chayim is the mitzvah that comes around year after year. It's always relevant, but it expresses itself most strongly on Rosh Hashanah, means that it's, we should choose it as an understanding that this is life. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to choose and become the person that we really are. So just like for the child, there's a process for him. He doesn't understand the real him. He sees it with the eyes of a 12-year-old, of a 15-year-old. He thinks this is him. But we know very well that there's another him, and we have a fairly good idea of what that him or her wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us you have two modes of life locked in. And your first choice is which one? It takes a while and a lot of thinking to move from one mode to the other mode. I mean, we're physical beings. Prima facie, our first approach to things is physical, and it's the easiest pleasure, and it takes quite a bit of drawing back, thinking, and beginning to be attracted. It's interesting, in yeshivas, not litvish yeshivas, learning was always sort of given with a stick. You have to do it. It was reinforced once upon a time with a stick, but even the words were sharp words. In the litvish yeshivas, the approach was that the boys should enjoy the learning, to get a geschmack in learning. So, it is obviously a lot more effective when people are willing partners than when you're forcing them. That's obvious. But more than that, you connect to it in a way that it becomes you only through pleasure, only through the sense of finding yourself in it. It cannot, you can be forced to do things, but you can't be forced to become someone you're not. But we are someone, there's a part of us that we're not realized yet, and only by thinking about it, by contemplating and mulling over it, understanding it, then we get to it. So one mode of contemplating is thinking what it means to be a good person, a giving person, a caring person, a disciplined person, a thinking person, all of those things, a humble person. The more we think and learn about it and so on, it becomes something that begins to resonate. After all the dust clears off us and after all the grime, it does begin to resonate. Also, this contemplation that he says over here is nothing in life will really ever become permanently life-giving. And I'm talking about life-giving, I mean to make you want to get up in the morning, wanting to do something, wanting to feel that urge that you're living. You tire of everything because that's the nature of physical things. They're limited and they cannot give you, and therefore it's not life. And life in the sense of what's driving me, what's pushing me, what am I looking forward? The one thing that a ruchnistic world is an unlimited world. And we might waver sometimes, and because we're physical beings, we don't always stick to it. But Lemaisa, it's a world that is eternity. The eternity of Olam Haba is because by its nature, Ruchnius is eternal. This world is a mishmash. it's a physical world with spiritual values locked into it, but we don't have something like that, so we don't understand it. But Ruchnius is eternal world. So if we daven Rosh Hashanah Zecheinu L'Chaim, Chaim is the thing we primarily daven for. So we're not davening. We don't daven for any details of our physical life on Rosh Hashanah. None of the Shemoneh Esrei, nothing's constructed around it. Chaim is the only thing, and the reason is because on the day when man is created, the L'dayta Nivru is the piece that has to kick in. We need to become aware of ourselves. And the self that we are happy with, comfortable with, that's our self. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as a human being, you have two selves to choose from. And you can snap into either one. They both look equal from the get-go. The difference is which one peters out and which one becomes a real Chaim. Those are the values that were mispalat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zecheinu L'Chaim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the sense of what real Chaim is, those things that those drives, those aspirations, that world that is an eternal world. And Be'ez Hashem, if in as much as that becomes our Chaim, the V'chai Le'olam is reality. Those are values and things that can keep us going for Nitzchias. Should be Be'ez Hashem. Ksimach Simatova, in Ruchnius and Gashmius, we should have what we need to fulfill our task, and we should have the understanding, the awareness, the consciousness of who we are, what we are, and what the Chaim, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chaim, is all about. A good year.
We had a picture.
Think of one more time.
Hi,
Myra.
Yeah, looks like we do. So if we could just ask.